Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 40 on its way. Step right up, step right up. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store located in Manchester, Connecticut called The Portal. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook under The Portal, and you can find us on Twitter at PortalGaming60 is our handle. Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Welcome, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, and with me this time is special guest...
Kathy.
Nice. And Kathy is the hottest co-host ever on the Portal Gaming Podcast.
Oh, I thank you.
So, yeah, good to have you here. You've been on a couple episodes prior.
Yes.
Awesome. So, today is International Women's Day.
It is.
Yeah, so we've been celebrating that and just doing all that. So I would just say a big thank you to the women in my life. Of course, my mom who listens to the podcast, even though she doesn't play games, and she is a worker through and through. She is... worked every day I can remember, thick and thin, long hours. You know, my sister's amazing. She's a nurse practitioner, worked at CCMC Children's Hospital, now works out at a, you know, private practice. She's been amazing. My mother-in-law, Kathy's mom, is an incredible woman and works every day, provides for her family and provided for you growing up. So she's amazing. But of course, number one woman in my life, hands down, is your co-host this week, Kathy. She's just amazing. She's awesome. And, don't know what my life would be like without her. So thank you so much, Kathy.
Aw, thank you.
So yeah, anything to say for, International Women's Day?
I didn't think about that. I am... very happy to be a part of a family of very strong women who have set very good examples for me. And I am also thankful for them and their influence in my life as well. So,
yeah, and I think on the board game front, too, because it doesn't all have to be serious and just about us. You know, I guess board gaming can be serious, too, but it's just neat to see how board gaming is encompassing so much. Like, obviously, it's such a growing hobby. Which is really exciting from where it was, but just as it grows, it's encompassing more people, more beliefs, and of course, more women, which I just think is great. I mean, our daughter, Zephra, loves to play games very often. Sometimes not so much, but, you know, it's definitely a big part, and she's going to grow up and know all these games and have that as always a pastime, which I just think is so neat, because she's just not... she's not as much of a, you know, she's got another activity she can do. She doesn't like do video games and stuff like that. She really likes this. She is a TV watcher. But she'll always have games as kind of something that she can do. So there you go. Happy International Women's Day to all you ladies out there. Thank you so much. Hey, I forgot to name this episode with you on, in honor of you. The episode is, I just as soon kiss a Wookiee. But of course, what did you say to me earlier?
I would.
Well, why?
Because you are rather bearded. I feel like it wouldn't be a whole lot different.
Yeah, my beard is rather big at the moment. This is one of the bigger beards I've had, so I'm kind of Wookiee-like there. All right, nice. A couple announcements. Here we got International Tabletop Day coming up April 29th. Do you know what this is, Kath? International Tabletop Day. This is when I disappear for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, so this is the 24 hours, so the store is going to be open midnight to midnight. Of course, if you want to even get more gaming than that, they're open Friday right into Saturday midnight,
right
through to midnight. So all those people there doing magic, you can just play right through. So definitely stop in. The store will be open anytime you want to stop in. You don't have to come for the whole 24 hours, but there's all sorts of crazy events. I know people are already planning like games to be demoed, tournaments to be run. We'll be doing code games again this year. Brian and I love that. Just kind of a lot of that oddball stuff. And then we'll have the promos and things available. So something you want to check out. And then in addition, actually before that, Silk City Board Game Group. This is the one that Jen and Matt run at the library.
Yes.
Kathy's been to that. And that's going to be happening Saturday, April 1st, no joke, from 12 to 4:30. So you can check that one out. That's always a fun event. You've been a couple times.
That is fun. And it's super low-key and always a good time to be able to just sit down and focus on games and not, like, in someone's house where there's kids running around or phones ringing or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Happens. Right, I see, like, what you're saying. It's low-key and casual, like being in a house without the chaos of a house.
Yes.
As our house can be sometimes.
Yes.
With things going on because we're playing here a lot. Awesome. Now, you may be saying to yourself, wait a second. I'm listening to Portal Game Podcast, and an episode just came out last week. And in fact, an episode was late and came out last week as well. And now I'm hearing one this week. What's going on? Well, surprise! We're trying to move now to once a week for the podcast. So actually, that's why Kathy is on this week, is about once a month. I'm going to have a special guest on, somebody from the store or that I play with or... maybe some special guest from the industry or whatever will be on with me once a month. So I wanted to start with the most important gamer, my favorite person to play with, my wife. So she is on this episode, although Brian always has to have his segment. So I'm going to record with him and he'll be on the episode a little bit later.
Yeah.
He still likes being on the episodes when he can. But obviously he's running and managing the store and I guess I just sit around and do nothing. So I have lots of time to do that. So he'll also be on this episode and any episode he can be, but he's going to be on. So we're going to try to release these once a week for you. And, you know, Brian will be on 2 to 3 weeks out of the month and Kathy, and we're trying to line up some other people to be on for there. So that should be fun. Hopefully you'll catch us once a week now-ish. I don't have an official release date, but maybe we'll get there. If I can get ahead on recordings and whatnot, we'll actually release officially like some of the other podcasts do. So we're taking this thing full-time.
Woohoo!
Well, it's still a part-time job, but we're going full-time. And yeah, all that. Awesome. So let's move on to the What's on Your Table segment. So Kathy and I are just going to talk about two games. We'll kind of talk about a third when we get to our discussion topic. But we're going to talk about two games that we got to play recently. So the first one is called Railways of the World. So Railways of the World is a train game. Kathy's just going to give you an overview of kind of the theme here.
Okay. So we played Railways of the World for the first time last night. We played on the Mexico map. There are a couple different options, actually, which is really nice. So we were two people. So for two players, they have you do the Mexico one, because that makes more sense, I guess. So what you're trying to do is lay down track on the map, train track, to connect various cities, and then transport goods along the track to the different cities. And there are different types of cities, so only certain types of goods can go to certain cities. And you get points for transporting the goods. And then there's other like bonus points you can get during the game as well. Yeah, I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, no, it was a neat game. Mechanisms-wise, I feel like the only other things to know are, as you get points, that's also giving you money.
Yes.
So it's like income, but then you have to take out bonds to pay for things, because you don't have any money to start the game, which is a really weird little element. And then you have to pay for those. So you're kind of like gaining points to get money, you're losing money, and then spending the money to take a single action. There's three actions in a round, and then you bid to see who goes first. And that's it. You just wash, rinse, repeat. There's a deck of cards, like you were saying, with some of those random other things that people can shoot for. So very straightforward once you get it.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was a little weird. We kind of built in our own sections, and we didn't, like, go after each other, which can kind of be standard for couples sometimes. It's either straight up go after each other. Like, if we're playing a CCG, you know, a Star Wars LCG or Ashes, like, we're all down with just take the other person down. We don't really have an issue with that.
Right.
I don't feel like. But when we play these Euro-style games, I feel like we tend to not go after each other, even if it's in there, because it just feels opposite of what the game is going for.
Right.
But I think this game is going for going after each other in terms of building tracks in the other person's way, so they have to deliver goods over your track so you gain money. And we didn't really do that, So your engine just, your engine, just worked better than mine did.
It did.
And you just kind of ran away with that.
Yeah. I also think that it was just the, since it was the first play of the game, we were trying to get the feel of it. So I think we didn't necessarily realize right off the bat that we were building tracks so separately on the map. It kind of became more apparent later, like, oh, well, this is why I'm so far ahead, because, I don't know, my tracks are...
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really build in your path, and I thought I was going to be able to, like, deliver a lot more goods. I was going for that strategy, but then you got that card that let you build on one of my tracks, so we both scored, and that was just huge.
It was.
Like, once we could both score on that one track, you just found the one that was, like, right dead in the middle, and every time I delivered a good, you were going up a point, even though I was going up two, three, or four. It's just, you were able to deliver and gain points on my turn, and that kind of sealed the deal, so.
Yes.
It was a neat game. I wondered, like, I was like, okay, I really want to play this with more people. That seems more interesting. But then I also wondered, like you were saying, well, first play, what would happen if we were constantly building each other's way in two-player? Then you'd be kind of working around that. So I feel like I would play it again, too.
Yeah.
I looked at, like, the Eastern map, and it's gigantic.
Right.
So it'd be interesting. Like, you can't build track from one city to the other in one action. You have to build it over multiple actions.
Oh,
so that would be interesting. Like, you really have to plan. Like, I'm committing to this, and I'm going to deliver this long route. So it seems like it's not leading to blocking other people. But I know that map is so big, you're supposed to play with more players. The game ends when a certain number of cities, based on the number of players, are empty of their cubes. You put these little pieces down. So the components are really neat. The plastic trains... The little plastic farm pieces that solely represent empty cities.
Yeah, it seemed like there was some extra stuff that they didn't necessarily need, especially because there are so many of those pieces, and we only needed 8. Maybe, do you need more for more players?
You do. I don't know that you would use that many.
There were a lot.
Yeah. Maybe you can use them for player order, I guess, although I think you would use colored trains, so you would know. In some way, shape, or form, Railways of the World is a deluxe edition.
Okay.
So, Railways of the World, Steam, and Age of Steam are all Martin Wallace games with various differences. So, Railways of the World being the most accessible, almost family accessible, like, Zephyr could almost play this game. It would be a little tough for her to comprehend all the things, even though once you got them all down, they're very straightforward. And Age of Steam is like a very tight auction, like unforgiving, when you run out of money, you're out of the game kind of game.
Right.
But they all run under that same kind of system. So this Railways of the World is kind of like a deluxe printing, I feel like. So that's probably why the pieces are there. I don't know what the original printing. It was Railroad Tycoon at one point.
Although, speaking of money, we didn't actually use the money from the game because it was paper money.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
We used poker chips to keep track of our money because, yeah, nobody wants paper money.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm a heavy board gamer, but I love the Heavy Cardboard podcast. You hear them in the background a bunch that I'm listening to, Edward and Amanda, and they just, you know, really turned me on to the whole poker chip idea, and we have a poker set that somebody that lived with us left behind, so so I use that all the time, and it's great. We use that in Arkwright, and I use that in this, and a bunch of other games, so yeah, that's Railways of the World. Any other things to say?
No.
Eagle Griffin game, so definitely check it out. I thought it was fun with two. I think I'd like it with more, but it was fun for us. Plus, the speed when you play with two is nice, right? Really,
yeah.
Like, it took us a little over an hour, and that was nice. It wasn't super long with a big production on that. All right, then we got to play another game. We got to play Scythe. So this is a big hit last year. Kickstarter game, you know, over $1 million. Huge production. From Stonemaier Games. Did I say that? I can't remember. And Jamie Stegmaier. So we don't need to explain Scythe, I don't think. Most people have heard of Scythe and all that. So let me just have you answer this question first, and then you can tell us about your experience with Scythe.
Okay.
Scythe just announced that it won 5 awards from the Board Game Geek Golden Geek Awards.
Okay.
What do you think about it winning? Like, let's say there's 8 awards handed out or 10 awards handed out for different types of games. It won 5 of those.
Huh. I think that's great. I mean, I think, well, it was funny the way I ended up playing is you had it all set up and you said, I want you to play this game with me for half an hour. And he literally set the timer for half an hour because I didn't actually want to play a game at that time. And I know that we heard the timer go off and he offered to stop playing. And I said, no, we have to keep going. We have to finish. So I definitely enjoyed it. I definitely kicked your butt. and I would definitely want to play it again. I did really like it.
All right. So here's the awards. I think it won. I don't have them in front of me.
Okay.
It won best artwork.
Yeah.
Which, go ahead, comment on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was beautiful.
So this game actually came from, I think I've told you this before, but this came from the artwork. So he found the artwork. Jamie found the artwork and said, I'm going to make a game based on this artwork. So that was that. So it won that. It won best thematic game.
Hmm. Yep.
I think it won best strategy game. Which those are usually considered opposites. That's kind of the Ameritrash versus Euro.
Right.
But it's kind of got both those feels. It won Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize, everybody's screaming at me right now. I think it might have won Best Production, now that I think about it.
That would make sense.
So, yeah. So, you could see all those categories. There's some other people were joking about it should have won Best Podcast. It should have won Best Family Game, Best Party Game. All these other categories, which it probably did. Well, obviously, it didn't fit into Best Podcast. But it was just a landslide winner, it seemed like. Now, there are a lot of games. So, I think one of our other favorites from that year, or from last year, was Terraforming Mars.
Yeah.
So, what's your compare-contrast? This is all spotlight on you.
Yeah, I know.
I've talked about Scythe in the past, so people have heard me.
I only played Terraforming Mars once.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
It was way back. And I liked it. It wasn't, like, I wasn't dying to play it again.
Huh. Okay. I thought you really liked that game.
Nope.
Okay. But Scythe, are you really dying to play again?
I would definitely play it again.
Okay. Yeah. So you put Scythe above Terraforming Mars. One play of each, that's fair. Although, Terraforming Mars would have been just post-Gen Con, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this game you played 2 days ago.
Right.
So, that could be an element. All right. I think I like Terraforming Mars better. People have heard my thing there. I have to say with Scythe 2 player, though, there was no sudden ending. Like, it was very clear that one of us was going to end the game and where we were.
Yeah.
So the biggest mistake I made is I didn't attack you, but you didn't have any mechs, in fact. You won with no mechs, and you kept your character away from me, so I couldn't attack them. So all I could have done is attack your little flunkies, in which case I'd lose reputation, so I was avoiding that.
Right.
And you also managed to barrel your reputation up to the top at the end, which was huge because you increased your scoring.
Yeah.
Your scorometer, as I call that.
Oh, do you?
So, there's that. Cool. Just quick mention, I got to play Scythe solo, so I tried that automata for the first time. And that was pretty neat. The pieces, like, warp around the board, and the person just, like, comes after you, or the mech, or whatever, the AI, comes after you, and then just tries to spread out, and so they only score for spaces, so they have a ton of spaces at the end of the game, and they attack you a whole bunch to push you back, but then they just score for, like, spaces. They don't have any goods at the end, they just steal them, so that was kind of neat. So, I had put Scythe on my second chance, played again. It was my number 10 game of last year, so by no means did I dislike the game, I totally liked it. I just had a few qualms, and it still boggles my mind that it's like number 7 on BGG when there's so many games I think are so much better, but it's a great game, so you should definitely check it out. And we played the retail version, so, you know, this would be the version if people don't have it yet that they could get their hands on. I didn't play the Kickstarter. I originally played the Kickstarter one, but the one we played was the retail version, and it was definitely a beautiful production.
Yeah.
Like, almost everything was there. We didn't have the oversized giant board, but we didn't need it for 2 people at all. We didn't need it for 6 people. And we didn't have, like, the fancy resource, but they're still, like, meeple-shaped resources. They're really nice, you know? They're not bad, so. Awesome. Well, that's Scythe.
Yeah.
In terms of that. So, that's what we've been playing. So let us know what you've had on your table. All right. So for our discussion topic, I've got Kathy here. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about gaming with your spouse or date nights with your spouse that are gaming or just, a lot of people ask, like, how do you get your spouse to game? And it's always a funny question to me because I don't really want to force somebody to play games. At the same time, I want to, I respect people trying to enhance somebody's enjoyment and add this activity. So I think it's important for people to know you. So I would sum you up this way in terms of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's the two of us, you like heavy games.
Yes.
You like to play two-player heavy games.
Yes.
At least medium heavy, if mm-hmm. not heavy. Because I'm finding that, again, heavy cardboard, heavy is a whole different realm. And sometimes the really heavy games don't work at two. Like, they really require a lot. But tell us some of your favorite heavy games.
I don't know how to categorize games as heavy or not.
Tell us some of your favorite games.
Through the Ages.
There you go. So that's one I was thinking of. And that's not a short game. That's 3 hours with two of us.
Right.
I mean, we've played it fast in like 2:15, 2:30, but it's typically about 3 hours. So length right there is heavy.
Yep. I don't know. Is Castles of Burgundy a heavy game? Not really.
I think the decisions are deep, but the mechanisms are pretty straightforward. Yeah. So, although you could argue that with Through the Ages, but then Castle of Burgundy we played in about 75 minutes.
Right.
Not 3 hours. So,
How
about Terra Mystica?
Oh, yeah, Terra Mystica. I like that one.
So that's definitely one you like. And then you've played, like, the What's Your Game titles. We just played Madeira.
Yep.
Did you like Madeira?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And we played Zangwo. I don't know if you remember that one, but that was where we were building the Chinese walls. That was another What's Your Game. You've played that one with me. Signorie.
Okay.
You liked that one, the dice drafting. We played that at TotalCon.
Yes.
When we were there. We were sitting at the round table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to tell you what some of your games are, just give you ideas.
I'm also very bad at remembering game titles, so.
So then in addition, then you flip-flop. If there's 3, 4, 5 people, and we're at our house, you'll just bow out of the game.
Yes.
Like, you're good, you play your medium weight, your lightweight, whatever, without me, but then you jump back in when we get into the, like, higher numbers category. The 6, 7, 8 player, like, party style or, you know, light strategy at that point, or just straight-up party game. So tell us some of those that are your favorite.
Mysterium.
There's the number one game of all time. Kathy's number one. That's your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I've played it a lot of times now, so I wouldn't necessarily... I don't know how many more plays it has, to be honest.
Yeah, but you haven't not been the ghost.
Well, I'm so good at it. I'm just kidding. I have.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Pretty much it's like default, you'll be the ghost.
Yeah, well, it's way more fun being the ghost than not.
Cool.
In my opinion.
What are some other 6-plus player games you like?
I like Codenames. Mm-hmm. I like the deduction games like Werewolf and Avalon and Resistance. They're all kind of in the same category for me, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's tons.
Time's Up.
Oh, I love Time's Up. Yeah.
So, just quickly, because this isn't really the segment, but what do you think creates that gap? What is the, like, two-player, why are you playing heavy games with me? And then 6-plus suddenly jumping in at that element. What?
I get bored with other people taking their turns.
I play pretty fast.
Yeah. I play pretty fast, too.
Yeah, no, you do.
And it's a big time commitment, especially when you start adding that many people. And I have other things to do than wait for people to take their turns.
Okay, nice. So I think the only other category game that we've played a lot of are like the two-player battle. We alluded to them earlier, but Star Wars LCG is definitely one of our favorites.
Yep.
Ashes we really like. Yeah. I mean, the art is just so beautiful and playing all those characters. We really haven't played it a ton.
Right.
But we've played all the characters except the one.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't played that one character, but we've played all of them and swapped. So, I mean, that's enough plays, you know, to have that under.
Have we played all the new
ones? No, we haven't played with the new ones, so we have to do that. And what are some other, like, CCGS or two-player? We used to play Lost Cities. We don't really do that on, like, the light end when we play.
Right.
What are some other light end two-player? A little bit of patchwork.
Yeah.
Oh, Neolithic. That one we really like. We played that a bit. That one, too. So that one's fun. So we kind of have, there's those lighter, medium-style games, you know, that we play, but typically that. Okay, so there's the background on Kathy. So we have that piece. So, gaming with your spouse. So what's fun about playing, what's fun about playing with me?
As we alluded to earlier, I appreciate you, that you don't take forever with your turn, but you're still competitive. It's not like you're not thinking about it. You also are very good at explaining how to play all the games. Brant is a very, very good game teacher. I haven't actually read a rule book since we've been married, probably. So that's good. He generally knows what kinds of games I like. So he'll say, again, uses that tactic a lot. Just sit down and play this for half an hour. And every once in a while, the timer will be up and I'm like, yep, all right, I'm done. But more often than not, I will continue to play the game. So he's good at reading what kinds of games I would like to play.
Awesome. So you've been super nice to me, but now I want to help people in general.
Yes.
So what's good about gaming with your spouse in the general term? Like, why should people game with their spouse?
I think it's a good connecting activity. You have some competition, which is always fun, but you also learn how your spouse thinks very often. And again, you're sitting around doing something that requires interaction and isn't... It's a good activity. Yeah. And it's fairly cheap if you're not buying new games all the time.
There you go. I mean, I like that it pulls us away from the TV.
Yeah.
I'm not a TV watcher other than sports, so it's kind of irrelevant there because I don't do that. I don't even really play video games anymore.
Right.
I'm always, like, trying to play video games. Like, okay, video games, I'll give you another chance, and it's just me. Like, I just can't. I don't even stick to it very long. You know, you'll see me play a game for a week. I might play 45 minutes a day and then I'm just done with the game. Like, I can't go back.
Yeah.
So I love it as that alternative. For me, my brain keeps going. It keeps thinking. So it's like, it's not making me get tired. It's ironic because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, when I'm exhausted, my brain will just be shot. But for me, it keeps my brain going. So, but in terms of playing with spouse, I actually think two player, it's easier in some sense to be interactive and not slow the game down. Which is ironic, because yes, if somebody's taking a really long turn in a four-player game, everybody else starts talking, but then they're almost like not thinking about their turn, and it's almost like worse. In a four-player game, you're like, oh, is it me? Oh, I've been sitting here for 3 minutes, I didn't know it was my turn. But in two-player, you pretty much always know if it's your turn or not.
Right.
And even when you break to make side comments, or get food, or whatever, you're kind of doing all that stuff together. So I there's some irony there. You would think it would just be boom, 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 boom. But there's almost like more free space for conversing and doing other things in two player. So I think that's good. Okay, so date nights. Date nights adding in gaming. So a lot of people do dinner and a movie, and we'll do dinner and a board game.
Yes.
Which we did recently. So tell us about our dinner and a board game.
All right. Well, we got my mom to come babysit. Which is really awesome. She comes over a lot, but this time she was going to put our daughter to bed for us so that we could go out. So what we did was we actually went out to a restaurant at, like, was it 4:30?
Yep.
And we said, just put us at a table where we're not in the way. We're not going to order dinner right away. And we're going to play a game. So that one was actually Castles of Burgundy that we ended up playing. And we told our waitress, we're like, just let us know, kick us out if you need the table. Like, we're not trying to take tips away from you or anything like that. So we made sure everyone was okay with it. But yeah, we set up Castles of Burgundy on our table. We got drinks and appetizers. Yeah, we played our game. And had our meal after that, and yeah, it was really fun.
Nice, yeah, people were coming over to ask, a few people, not a ton of people, but a few people came over to ask. I love that element, too. Like you said, we got drinks, we got appetizers, we kind of sat and ate, and we could order our food. They kind of were like, okay, we'll hold your food till you say go. We could kind of pause almost two-thirds of the way through the game, eat, and then finish it up.
Yep.
Have some dessert. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it'd be weird to a lot of people, but to me, it's like perfect sense. Like, yeah, we could sit there and we could talk, and I'm not trying to downplay that because we should, but it's like, it's almost like a higher form of interacting to me. Like, because, you know, in the car ride, we share a lot of stuff, and we're talking about just kind of the casual things that need to be known, or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that element. I'm not saying every time you go to a restaurant, you should do this.
No.
We've done this once before with Viticulture.
Yep.
And then we'll bring small games, like when we go with our daughter, and we'll play those while you're waiting. That's, you know, a little more standard of people, like, pulling a deck of cards out, you know.
Right.
Or something very small to play, but not big, so. Yeah, so I just think adding a game into a date night is just, you know, it makes sense. We're both gamers, so. So in terms of people, you know, getting their spouse to play, I think from my end, like, a little bit I get you to play, but it's typically that tactic. Like, I really want you to try this. I want to know. I really think it's something you'll like, so try it for 30 minutes. I think works pretty well. Now, I usually include rules in there to some extent, so that kind of really puts that, like, hamper on me. Like, okay, explain this in 5 minutes or less, because we're going to start playing. But that almost makes it easier, because I'm like, well, if I didn't explain a rule, it could be that we're only playing for 30 minutes. So you won't really get upset with me in that two-hour game at the end when you're like, had I known that, I would have changed my whole strategy. You know, like, that thing. So that's worked pretty well. But I think even also just, like, putting it out there, like, hey, I think it would be fun tonight to play a game, so we're going to try this one. Having it set up, ready to go, I think is key, you know, for you. And then I just think finding those games, and a big piece that I've learned with Kathy is, like, don't forget to replay games that she loves.
Yes.
Like, yeah, we could do a couple new ones, but don't forget, and you know what we forgot, and your games you love, Orleans.
Oh, I love Orleans.
So, you know, we just dug back out Orleans, and we were playing with the newest expansion, and that was just a new experience, so it was kind of a new game for me, because it's not one of my favorites. It's fun, but it's not one of my favorites. But I definitely enjoy every time I play it with you. And again, for me, it's like that two-player is fun. The co-op is pretty fun with a bunch of people.
Yep.
The five-player with everybody can be a little bit slower, and it gets confusing in terms of order, but there's that. So I think that's a key thing, is just don't forget, like, what are those games you like? Just, you know, find one of those to play on a certain night. The part that's funny to me is I would play a game every night. That would be my, like, nightly activity. Whereas for you, you know, you don't mind playing some nights, but you don't even know on a given night. Like, you're like, I don't know, how tired will I be then?
It's a marathon doing the dinner child to bed routine.
Dishes, yeah.
So it's a matter of how long that all takes. And also if I have other things to do or just don't feel like it sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm probably more of a 1 to 3 times a week gamer,
mm-hmm.
rather than every night.
Yeah. And I think you alluded to, like, just cost with games is just typically, as long as it's not like purchase new, it's for us, especially cost is, you know, can be a pretty big issue. Whereas we can't just be like, well, once a week we'll go see a movie. Like, that's just not going to work for our budget.
Right.
So games are great to be able to go out, have time, like you said. If somebody comes over and puts our daughter to bed, then we still have time. So we actually did that. We came home and played Scythe, which you weren't expecting, but we added the two games into that date. So I think that can be another piece, too, for, like, a game night. Is to, like, if there's going to be a big game, but then also, like, a small fun thing to go with that, either to close or open, can be kind of good. So,
yeah.
That's just kind of, I don't know, less tips and more this is what our gaming date nights are like. And we don't have a weekly one and that kind of thing. In fact, that one week we did a date night at home, we played Madeira. But then later that week, when we were just kind of spending time, we just did a puzzle. Like,
right.
It was just kind of that other end, you know, and throwing those other things in there and that. I've heard a lot of people say that, where like, oh, my spouse doesn't want to play with me. And people will say, well, find something they want to do and do that with them. So if they want to watch a show with you one night, or they want to do a puzzle one night, or they want to, I don't know, whatever, like stare at the moon one night, then do that thing with them, and then maybe they'll want to do with you. Now, what I appreciate with Kathy is she doesn't want to play games every night, but she does like playing games.
Right.
At the end of the day, she wants to play games. So I don't really have that, oh, let me convince you to play a game, or please, please, for me, just pretend to enjoy this kind of thing. So I totally appreciate that I have that element to work from, you know, is that you're always going to enjoy those pieces. But again, you're not going to listen to podcasts, read rule books, go to Board Game Geek, create an account, watch videos, all that stuff. You know all the personalities through me and yes. listening to them while I'm doing dishes and whatever else I'm doing.
Yes.
So all the famous people. But this will be fun. Can you name some podcasters or video board game people?
Tom Vassell.
Oh, you win an award, Dice Tower Network. That's who you have to say first.
And Eric Summer.
Oh, he's our Connecticut native.
Yes. And, Z.
There you go.
And,
how about Watch It Play? Do you know who that is? Canadian?
Oh, no. Who is Rodney
yep.
Smith?
There it is.
Is that that
yep.
guy?
Yep. Yeah, nice.
There's somebody who lives in Malta.
Nice.
And Heavy Cardboard.
Nice.
How
about any of the female?
Something About Your Turn.
Our Turn Podcast. Our Turn. Nice.
Yep.
That's good. No.
That's all I got right now.
Not bad. So see, she knows a lot of the people, so she's in with that. And whatnot. So, awesome. That's yeah. date nights. That's our discussion. And I'll be back in a little bit with Brian.
There you go.
Because he's got to have his spotlight on the show, too.
Of course.
Thank you, Kathy, as always.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And we hope to hear from you.
All right.
Love you.
I know.
That was a Star Wars reference. All right, bye. Okay, everybody, I'm back. In the words of Willy Wonka, strike that, reverse it. No Brian. So we're back to...
Kathy, all right. I'm still here.
So we're going to do our What We Love About... segment. And with Kathy on and us having our date playing Castles of Burgundy, I thought it'd be awesome to talk about what we love about Stefan Feld games. So we're going to go through some of the Stefan Feld games that we've played and just what we love about Stefan Feld. Why don't you start with Castles of Burgundy?
Sure. I love Castles of Burgundy. I'm not totally sure what exactly it is I like about it, except that there are so many paths to victory. I think I really do like that in games, that you're not confined to doing the same thing every time if you want to win. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, he's considered to make the point salad games or whatever, and I totally agree, that's a term, and people don't like that to some extent. I mean, most people do like it, so I should be careful. Most people do like his games, but there's some people who don't. But I think what you said is more key. It's not so much that it's point salad, you get points for everything you do, as everything you do is a viable strategy, which makes it fun because you can try different things, you can adapt to different things, which makes it really good. It's funny because Castle Burgundy is basically multiplayer solitaire, but because timing of things is so important, it's not, right?
Right, right?
If timing didn't exist in that game, then it would be multiplayer solitaire. Oh, grab pieces that you want, blah, blah, blah. But because the time that you grab, if we both want boats and there's two boats out in a two-player game, and we want them on the first round. You want to go first, you know? Also, the timing makes you spend those workers to be able to do things. Otherwise, I'll just wait to roll it later, and I'll get that, you know? Or, of course, the ore. Is that what it is? The ore?
Yeah.
The mines. Those are so important. So it's always like, oh, if I go first, I got to grab a mine. Like, you can't let somebody get a significant lead in those. So.
Right.
Probably the best. Steffenfeld, your favorite?
It's definitely one of my favorite games.
10 so. Plus plays?
I would think so.
Yeah, probably more than 10 plays on that. All right, so probably Castle Burgundy is the favorite, but others that we played Trajan, so that's that Roman one with the Mancala mechanism.
Right, yep.
And we played Bruges. That one's really different because that's where you have like the multi-use cards and, I don't know, just a lighter style game. So Bruges is neat, again, because as opposed to that, like, points, which is, I guess you still get points for everything you do, but it's all, like, the different actions you can choose, and you try to be the leader in each one, which is really tough, so that's kind of fun. We play Bora Bora, that's with the seashells and the tattoos. Yes. You can tattoo the men and get seashells for the women and move around the island. That one's really neat, because the dice has, like, the dice drafting, and that whole dice mechanism is really fun. And then La Isla we played. I think we've even played that with Zephra. That's like where you pick the action cards and then you're going around the island taking pictures and there's like the dodos and the rare tree frogs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's kind of a neat, like lighter game. Yeah. So,
as I'm looking at this list, I realize that I really like a lot of Steffenfeld games.
And I think way back in the day we played Notre Dame. It's like a card drafting and there's rats in the city. And I remember playing it with you. Well, actually, just last house, but that was a while ago now.
Wow. I don't remember that.
That one's coming out for a 10th anniversary. So, in addition, I've not tried Oracle of Delphi, but I played it by myself. That's his newest one. I've played Aquasphere. I've played Amerigo, which is the cube tower. That one you really should try. I think you'll like that one a lot.
Yeah.
That cube tower is really neat, where you put the cubes in, and then they fall down, and some come out and some don't. So they might come out later because they get stuck, and they determine the actions and how powerful they are.
Interesting.
So I think you would really like that one. It's like a color wheel, so you go around. So you drop in, like, three of this color, two of that color, one of the next color, and then you move up to the next one, and then three. So, like, there's a whole bunch, and if they don't come out, they're all, like, stuck in there. Yeah, those are them. I've also played in the Year of the Dragon, which is just brutal. I don't know that you would have any fun with that. It's just punishing, 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 unless you can read ahead. Like, this is what I need to have by then, so.
Right.
There's a bunch of other Steffenfeld people kind of, like, make it their goal to play all of his games. Oh, the Castle Burgundy card game we should try, too.
Oh, right, yeah.
But, yeah, to me it's just not Castle Burgundy, but people want a faster version of Castle Burgundy. I say just play two-player Castle Burgundy if you want a faster version, because,
right. Like
we said, we play in, like, 75 minutes. So, I mean, maybe the card game cuts down to 45 minutes, but, you know, still takes up a whole bunch of space, and you're missing that whole spatial element. You don't get to build on all the different fun boards. That's half the fun now, right, is switching up the boards.
Right, yeah, so. Exactly.
Nice. So Steffenfeld gets a thumbs up from you.
Yes.
Awesome. That is what we love about Steffenfeld games. All right, there you go. There's our episode, episode number 40. I'd just as soon kiss a Wookiee. How do you feel about that, Kathy?
I feel great.
She still stands by her original statement there. So, awesome. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoy. Hope you have a great week. Until next time, I'm your host, DeBrant, and with me is
Kathy.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is brought to you by Time Machine Hobby /The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Please email us any questions at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. This episode was recorded on March 8th and March 10th, 2017. As always, thanks for listening.